The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. How are you doing?
Boker Tov. There is very much a focus and a little bit of an obsession with this whole Thanksgiving thing.
That's too much.
It seems in Israel that in Israel, people are more worried about Black Friday than they are about Thanksgiving.
Oh, you see, I respect
that.
You can't
go anywhere.
Yes.
You can't go anywhere without being told about Black Friday. I don't know why it has to be black necessary. I think we need to repaint the color scheme. But people have got this.
What, like Black Friday matters.
Unbelievable obsession. Obsession.
Yeah. Look, Israel's very confusing around sales. I'm sorry. Maybe you need to be Israeli and very clever to understand it. But you go into a shop and then it's two, but if you take an extra one, you get the fifth one free, but not the fourth one. If the fifth one is the price of the third one, I tell you, there's no way to understand it. Not without Excel.
Most of Israel's sales involve getting something cheaper, so-called cheaper, but actually it was never really advertised at the previous price to begin with. So we're not really sure if it is really cheaper. I know that in England there are particular laws about this. You can't advertise that things are cheaper relative to a certain price.
Yeah, it's anchoring.
It's sold for that price.
In marketing, I call it anchoring.
A certain period of time. Yeah.
And it's very dangerous.
It's a bit of a free-for-all.
Right.
Free-for-all, unfortunately. Yeah.
Okay, there
we go. That's where we're on Thanksgiving. It's one of those days where there hasn't been a lot going on, and yet, you know, there's still things to talk about. Unfortunately, some of the things are kind of a little repetitive. We've spoken about them. It's just continuations of the same stories. I'm actually appealing to the listeners out there. If they've got particular things that we need to talk about when there's sort of low news days, then please send in your request recommendations. I'm all eager to hear about that. But there are a few things that are worth talking about. Defense Minister Benny Gantz is in Morocco. We spoke about that yesterday. He's apparently signed some defense agreements with the Moroccan government on behalf of the Israeli government. Interestingly, it's not only about Israel getting access to intelligence information from Morocco, but as much the other way around, because Morocco is concerned about terror activities that are going on back in their area. And they are looking to get help from Israel to provide them with some intelligence information in order to combat terror that takes place in Morocco, which is kind of not what one would have expected, and apparently that is the reality. There are some people who've declared that the fifth wave of corona has started in Israel. The numbers are certainly going up, particularly amongst the youth, and particularly, again, unfortunately, amongst those people who have not been fully vaccinated. This is a story that's just repeating itself constantly. There is clear evidence that the vaccinations that were given earlier this year are losing their effectiveness. A booster for the youth who've only had two, and another booster for adults who've already had three vaccinations is almost inevitable in the coming months. Hopefully we can get over Hanukkah without too much issue. Again, more violence in the Arab sector. A 23-year-old shot dead in East Jerusalem. Another man shot dead in Haifa. Again, violence in the Arab sector is just consuming our security forces at the moment, the police, and we don't really seem to be making much headway in addressing it. And of course, putting police onto it is not the answer. The answer is to try somehow to understand why it's arising in the first place in order to try to put a stop to it. There's a lot of work that needs to be done in order to address that particular issue. More drama in the Netanyahu trial in the courtroom, recordings this time being played of members of the former prime minister's family, his son, his wife, recordings which were made, apparently, according to the witness, without him even realizing that the recordings were made. And then when he discovered that these recordings were made, they all of a sudden became quite useful in the context of the things that are happening. The former prime minister's family being mentioned on many occasions, Yair in particular, the former prime minister's son, and of course Sarah, his wife, are also coming up a lot in discussion about the way in which they wanted to be presented in the media and the way in which they wanted to influence the media. And of course, the former prime minister is being accused of trying to influence the media or gain influence over the media in return for giving favors to those people who are involved in the media. Some very, very sad and unfortunate stories coming out of Gilboa prison, apparently female officers in the prison, some of them soldiers, serving soldiers who were seconded to the prison during their military service, were apparently sexually harassed by some of the inmates in the prison. There are suggestions that they might even have been sent to be sexually harassed by officers, senior officers in the prison, in order to somehow alleviate tension within the prisoner community. Very, very, very worrying evidence coming out of there, and certainly something that we're going to have to keep an eye on. And another piece of unfortunate information that's really not appropriate is the story about an IDF officer who apparently was spying on female soldiers that he was involved with in military terms. It's it is a bit of a dilemma in the Israeli army, because of course men and women serve together. Women, I think quite justifiably, want to be in combat units. They want to be doing the work that the men do as well. The problem of course is that the facilities, when you talk about hygiene facilities, toilets, showers, things like that, when you're out in the field, it's very, very difficult to set up separate facilities for men and for women to keep things appropriate and hygienic. And so it becomes a little blurred around the edges. And unfortunately, there are incidents like this, which we're not proud of, but I suppose that that's what happens.
It's actually a very, look, I would imagine it happens pretty much everywhere. The important thing is that it's dealt with, I would think.
It needs to be dealt with. And when we've already discussed the fact that there was some evidence of things being swept under the carpet to some degree. But, you know, I think there is a renewed energy around allowing these things to come out and to deal with them and to take appropriate action and to allow people to feel empowered to say what needs to be said rather than to hide it away. I just feel that there is, you know, some new energy around that. The danger, of course, is that there are people who take it to the other extreme and try to make accusations when they are not justified. It's a very, very difficult line to tread.
Absolutely right. Belgium declared that products coming from Judea and Samaria will be specially labeled to indicate that. What's going on here, Anthony?
Yeah, I mean, this is just an attempt by the Belgian government to say quite very, very loudly that Judea and Samaria are not part of Israel, and therefore they won't allow products that come out of Judea and Samaria, the West Bank, some people like to call it, you know, everybody will use their own term, but what they're saying is that products coming out of those areas cannot be labeled as being Israeli. Now, again, I don't really know what this achieves, but there was a little bit of a diplomatic incident in Belgium yesterday, because the Deputy Foreign Minister, Idan Roll, is currently in Belgium, as it turns out, in order to try to improve ties between Belgium and Israel. That was what he was there to try to achieve. He had a meeting set up yesterday with Belgian officials. And then, of course, they used the opportunity in order to make this announcement that that products coming from Judea and Samaria will need to be separately labeled as such before being allowed to be consumed in Belgium. As a result of that, Idan Roll decided not to attend the meetings with Belgian government officials, and he actually wrote a tweet saying the Belgian government's decision to label products from Judea and Samaria strengthens extremists, does not help promote peace in the region, and shows Belgium as not contributing to regional stability. Those were the words on Twitter yesterday from Israel's deputy foreign minister. But I just wonder to myself, what do we achieve here? I mean, I'm not quite sure whether Belgium is trying to pander to a certain community, to a certain interest group, to try to make them feel as if though, you know, the Belgian government has served their interests, or whether there is something else that I'm sort of missing. The Belgian government did respond, saying that they regretted that the deputy foreign minister decided not to attend the meetings. And then they went on to say that Belgium has always applied international and European law. I'm not quite sure how that applies. And then they go, which distinguishes between Israel on the one hand and the settlements in the occupied Palestinian territories on the other hand, words carefully chosen for that particular purpose. And then they've said that Belgian policy hasn't changed and that this differentiation has existed for years and apparently is also enshrined, according to the Belgian government, in the federal coalition agreement, which stipulates that the government must take further steps towards a policy of differentiation. So the Belgian government really going out on a limb in order to make some quite strong statements about the current state of affairs. And, you know, again, while one wants to make certain political statements, I just wonder whether this doesn't inflame things rather than help to calm them down. I mean, on the one hand, you say to people, well, we don't want to necessarily smooth over problems where they exist, and we need to raise them up and we need to address them and try to resolve them. But by doing this, I feel that it just kind of creates more conflict, more issues than it helps the situation.
Oh, it really does. The interesting thing is, as you were talking, I was thinking to myself, if you have to really so carefully word something so as not to cross a line, then maybe you need to rethink that policy. If it has to be so carefully framed, and you know full well it's not going to last within that perfect framing, then you know you've got a problem with your policy, surely.
Well, I mean, you know, I think there's another point to be made here as well, which is, what battles are they choosing to fight at the moment? Why pick this issue out of all the things that they might turn their attention to, out of all the things that they might do to try to help the citizens of Belgium to be more prosperous and to have better relations with whoever is important around the world and whoever they wish to link to? Why choose to focus on this issue? Surely there must be. I mean, we say it so many times. Why are we ignoring, I don't know, human rights issues in China? I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, why are we fighting this particular battle right now? I don't understand. I mean, we know that the issues, we know that the situation is far from perfect. We would ideally like, you know, things to be very much in place, with agreements, with everybody knowing where the red lines are drawn. We would like that situation. But it hasn't been for the past however many years, 70, 80 years, and it doesn't look like it to happen anytime soon. Why choose to fight this issue right now?
Leslie says they should stick to making chocolates and leave politics alone. Well, I guess that is, it is definitely a suggestion. Defense Minister Benny Gantz has revealed that Iran was planning to use drones to fly explosives into Israel. What more is known about this?
Yeah, so this whole drone warfare area is really just escalating. Defense Minister Benny Gantz, just before he left on his trip to Morocco, revealed that Iran is using drones more and more. And he first of all cited the example of attacks that have taken place against targets at sea. We know that Israel and Iran have kind of conducted this almost proxy warfare at sea, attacking vessels belonging to the other. And we've seen the backwards and forwards attacks that have taken place. And Benny Gantz mentioned two particular attacks that took place on vessels, against vessels at sea, and that were conducted by drones. And then he spoke about two bases that Iran has set up in order just to conduct drone warfare from those bases. That's what these bases are all about. And then he spoke about the fact that Iran had intended, apparently, to fly explosives from Iran into Israel, into the Palestinian Authority area, in order to somehow create a more direct link. Now, this is quite an astonishing thing because the distances are significant. This is not just like flying a drone over your neighbor's garden to try and see what they're doing to the fence on the other side, you know, of the common fence on your property. This is not that at all. This is flying drones thousands of kilometers, carrying explosives in order to carry out warfare, which is effectively being remotely controlled. Which is a really kind of scary thing. Now, I mean, admittedly, we do see drones used extensively by the IDF. We know what their capabilities are. In the most part, the drones are being used for surveillance purposes, so that nowadays many of combat units manage to carry a surveillance drone within the unit on the back of one of the soldiers. They can simply take the drone out of the backpack, set it up and send it over the hill to see what might be lurking beyond the hill that just lies ahead of them. So that sort of activity is being done, being undertaken a lot by the IDF. We've also seen combat drones, drones that actually carry explosives that are being sent remotely, either whether they be by air, by land, by sea. All kinds of drones are being used these days. So this is really becoming a big deal, this whole drone area, and the way that warfare is being conducted now remotely, so that people's lives don't have to be risked. And it brings amazing amount of intelligence, quality of intelligence, and it also allows these attacks to be carried out remotely, as mentioned. So it's just another area that Israel is having to deal with, Iran developing itself. And of course, I think there is some concern that some of these drone bases would be set up in the southern area of Syria, and hence many of the attacks that we've heard against targets in Syria, against targets in Lebanon, where I think the IDF is concerned that Iran is getting more of a hold and potentially setting up drone bases there as well.
Yeah, it's a very, very, very big worry. And I think it's going to come to a crisis point sometime very soon. Finally, Anthony, before we let you go in 1 minute or less, Hanukkah begins Sunday night. What happens in Israel over Hanukkah?
Well, at the moment, we're quite excited about Hanukkah. It's kind of, you know, it feels much more free and open than last year this time. The weather is looking quite good, even though last weekend we had some wintry weather and it certainly turned cooler, but we've had some very nice sunny weather, and apparently the weather forecast for Hanukkah is quite good. So school holidays will begin, children will be out, there will be candles lit, and of course there will be vast quantities of donuts and other oily goods consumed. Candles lit, of course, and candle lighting is very much a big deal, not only at home, but also in public areas. And so it just remains for me to wish you guys all a Shabbat Shalom, a Chag Chanukah Sameach. I will, as we mentioned yesterday, will not be with you next week, but I will return the week after. I will be back just towards the end of Hanukkah, and I'll be eager to find out how things have gone over Hanukkah, and back to talk about some of the things that have been happening around here.
Absolutely, Anthony Reich. Thank you, as always, wishing you Shabbat Shalom. Travel safe, and we will most certainly be missing you next week. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. It's 101.9 Chai FM. Good morning.